Of the Christmas message of Jesus coming, I'd like to use a lot of those scriptures, but to set a tone, to set a tone for the coming year, and. I don't know, one of the things that happens to me a lot is when I'm reading the scriptures, it's like the Holy Spirit will give me, thank you, that's not going to melt my little snowman straw, is it? I don't want to lose that. It's my straw. They're still smiling, I guess they're all right. I read things, and the Holy Spirit will show it to me in a little, well, a lot different light. And it'll just shake me out of my religious views of things, you know? And I really like it when he does that to me. Amen. I really like the Holy Spirit. I really like that he means it. He means it. He really wants us to know Jesus. He really loves Jesus, and he just really wants to break through our carnal minds. And there's just some good things I felt like that he shared with me to share. To start with, I think everything will pretty much be in the New Testament, but the first one that I'd like to read is Malachi, which is just before Matthew. So this is... what he's saying in Malachi will be the next, you know, the next thing coming will be Jesus and John the Baptist and all of that. Howbeit, there's a 400-year gap here because God was, you know, just didn't want to talk to us unless he could talk about Christ. So he waited for Jesus to come. This is Malachi 3:1. It's just the first verse, and this verse includes John the Baptist and Jesus, okay? So here it comes. Malachi 3:1. Behold, this is the Lord speaking, I will send my messenger, John the Baptist, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And this is... this is in keeping with a lot of making sure my buds are good here. In keeping with a lot of prophecy about Jesus in the Old Testament, a lot of prophecy that came forward. And now, if you'll go with me to Luke, because I want to show you the beginnings of some of this stuff in Luke chapter 1. And this has to do with, let's see if I got the right verses here. Yeah, this has to do with John the Baptist's father. Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, and this Zacharias is John the Baptist's father, but he was a priest. John the Baptist was like a prophet, and I can say more about that, but I don't want to get off track here. He was of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And then, if you would, drop down to verse 8, and we'll read several verses here. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And so here we have really, John the Baptist hadn't been born yet. But the information is he's going to come and he's going to declare, he's going to go before Jesus and he's going to declare Christ. So you have at this time, at this season, there was a real upheaval in the land and in the Jews, and there was a sense that God was going to do something, and they were, and a whole lot of talk going on about the Messiah and this sort of stuff. And so this priest ends up seeing this angel, and he's telling him, you know, hey, this stuff's fixing to, you know, hit the fan here, and it's going to be God, and it's going to be big. And there's all of this, you know, excitement in the air, and there's all these prophecies that have gone before about the Messiah, you know, words of hope for Israel, and his life and his rule is going to change everything. This is the one they're looking for, okay? Now, if you can picture yourself being in that, the one that we're looking for is coming, and he's coming real soon here, and he's going to change everything. And that Messiah, which means Christ, Messiah is going to be appointed by God and not man. God is going to, in other words, some man's not going to get in charge and get in control and start being, you know, using the money and using everything the way he wants to. This guy's going to be appointed by God. And so everyone's excited because the Romans are corrupt. You have Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew. He was a tax collector, but he was actually Jewish. So he's working for Rome. And you got all this contrast of junk that's going on, but there's this rising tide of the Messiah's coming, and we're going to, and it's going to make a huge difference for us. So, set behind that backdrop of all these expectations, you have what we call the Christmas story. So if you'll go to Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to read in several places here now pertaining to what is taking place. Matthew 1, beginning with verse 18. And let me take 1 second to brighten my day. It happened. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Okay, so we got another appearing of a heavenly thing talking about the coming of the Messiah. And it's not just people sitting around talking in church for 2,000 years or 10,000 years. Get it? It's real. It's not this fake religious stuff. It's real. And so this angel appears to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by his prophet. All this was done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through his prophet. By the Lord through his prophet. So why do you keep saying that, Randy? I don't know. I'm just saying it. Okay. saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. They're going to call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. All right, so that's similar to what was going on in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. They believed in God in Egypt all the years before and everything. We believe in God, we believe in God. But God takes them out of bondage for a purpose so that in the wilderness he could come down and dwell in their midst. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, type and shadow, a picture of what was in God's heart. If we can grasp God's heart and not religion, if we can knock ourselves, you know, out of this religious view of everything and begin to discover the heart of the Lord, we'll be free from religion. Amen. And a whole bunch of other stuff too. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, now just one chapter over, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Matthew 2. We were in 1, now we're in 2. Yes, okay. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Oh my God. This is, what are they, from Persia? You know, they're Arabs, basically. And I know Persians aren't Arabs, but they're, you know, Iran, from Iran, Persians. And by the way, people in Iran don't like to be called Arabs because they consider themselves Persian. Okay. Saying there, you know, where is he born king of the Jews? We have seen his star. My God, this is somebody, they're looking for somebody who owns a star. I mean, you know what I mean? It's kind of like that's what they're saying, and they're serious. You know? And it's like, we just read that and we go, you know, these guys got up and went after it. You know what I mean? We read it and we go, oh, Merry Christmas. You know? God just wants to slap you, you know, to the glory of Jesus. Anyway, yeah. All right. Now we're going to drop down to verse 9, I think. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. All right. So you've got this movement toward reality, but not everybody's getting it. Not everybody feels the pull. You know, I always equate all of this stuff to the same pull that God uses, like with Noah and the animals. You know, all the animals are, you know, you got a whole herd of wildebeest in Africa, and they're all, you know, eating the grasses there, and they're huge. And two of them all of a sudden go, huh? They look at each other and go, let's go. And they start walking, and the rest say, hey, Jake, where are you and Susie going? I don't know, but I got to go. I feel it's the Lord. I feel the Lord. What wildebeest don't feel the Lord? Anyway, you know, I don't know. But they go. Yeah, there are two exceptions. Anyway, who feels that? It's more than I need to obey the word of God, or I need to be a good Christian. But you feel something that is beyond this earth, and it moves you. It moves you, and you can't help it. I mean, you can always say, oh, heck with this. But there's something of the Lord, and you know it's the Lord, not, you know. Yes. Folks, I wouldn't be here if I didn't think this was God moving us here and then moving us on. I feel like God did this from the very beginning till now. I think God's in control. Yes. I do. You say, you're crazy. Yeah, I'm with a bunch of crazy people. We're all crazy. Yeah, whoopee! Woohoo! See?
See?
And wait a minute, that's all pointing to me. Hold up. Did I finish anything here? It may be, okay. Did I jump from my scripture? No, I finished what I wanted to read. Okay, go to Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. I said Luke 1, not lukewarm. I'm not speaking to anybody specifically when I say that. It's somewhere in this section. Is it? Yeah, Jim's over there going, woo! Hey, weren't you originally sitting? No. Okay, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26, and we'll read several of these, okay? And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Now, if an angel appeared to you and said, you are really special, blessed are you among women. If you were one of the ladies here in our gathering, you'd probably go, finally, finally, the people are going to get this. But she's going, this is bothering me. You know, I don't know if I want to, you know, because I don't understand this because, you know, first of all, yeah, anyway, you know our story and what happens to her, don't you? Anyway, so, yeah. and she was troubled at that saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Because you ain't from here, are you, buddy? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. How did she find favor with God? She's going to bring forth Jesus. Isn't that, you know what I mean? You found favor. You're going to bring forth Jesus. I'll take that. I'll take that. Yeah, amen, amen. He shall be great. Okay, he shall be great, and she didn't say you're going to be great, but he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. Whoa, the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever in his kingdom. There shall be no end. My God, do you hear what's going forth? Come on, if you were there, you know, and you were just picking up on these things, well, you know what? Zacharias had some sort of deal, you know, and then now she says an angel, Joseph also, something happened with him, and it's all about the Messiah. It's really not about us. And he's going to be great, and he's going to save us, and it's going to this and that, and you're hearing that, and there was a stirring at that time that we can't imagine. We should know what it's like. We're all going to get filled with Christ and be conformed to his image. You know, there should be a stirring among us. You know? Anyway. we read three different sections in here, and the stories repeatedly stress that this heavenly origin of this one that's coming, doesn't it? It repeatedly is stressing the heavenly origin, that this is not, you know, your mama's revival or your grandmama's revival. This is the Son of the Highest. Okay? So Mary and Joseph, as you know, we didn't read all the stories on that, but they receive visitors, and these visitors come to them, and they say, they're telling them of his glory that they heard or they saw, right? People are coming to them and saying, you know, the Lord's going to do something with you. It's going to be You're going to bring forth Christ. Yeah. Anybody ever heard somebody say something weird like that to you? You're going to bring forth Christ. You're not going to just be an average cracker cookie. Well, that was a swerve to get out of any kind of trouble. And it worked until you said something. All right, so let's look a little bit at these wise men, wise guy. Matthew chapter 2. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10 and 11. What you'll find out here in this church, Amy, is that we go bouncing all over the Bible. Man, we are Bible bouncers. We love the word. We love the word of God. Yeah. All right, this is Matthew 2, starting with verse 10. We're only going to read verse 10 and 11. This is talking about the wise men who came from the east. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Why? That's one incredible star. No, it's going to lead them to Jesus. You know what I mean? You go, oh my God, Instead of what did some people call them when you read the stars in the old days? Astrologers. They should have said, instead of being astrologers, we're going to be astronomers. Look at that star. We discovered it. No, they're not. They only want that star so they can follow it to Jesus. Okay? See, we get all wrapped up in everything. I'm going to make me a reputation on this star. You know, I'm going to call it the Big Star Ministry. Oh my God. And they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, incense. And myrrh. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's. I don't know where that came from. He's not behind me, is he? All right. So what you have here is really an incredible event. I mean, you've got shining down from above a special star. It's like heavenly decoration from God. Heavenly decoration, not our. Penny Annie, no offense to you girls who decorated this, but compared to God's decorations, this just don't hack it, you know what I mean? And compared to our decorations, our little Christian decorations for God in us and whatever, you know, it just doesn't hack it. And it's like a Christmas tree compared to an apple tree. An apple tree is alive, a Christmas tree isn't. One brings forth fruit and the other is dying. It's going to be dropping off all this stuff. Do we have Christmas tree righteousness or apple tree righteousness? That which comes and pops out of us, that which comes of life. Anyway, little side thing there. All right, so they've got this, and they've got these people, and they've come from afar, and they've traveled afar, and they're telling them, that we have seen his star. And we're here for him. And they're bringing gifts and they're bowing down. And you know, I mean, Mary and Joseph were poor. You know, they were young and they were poor. They're going, you know, is anybody else here? You know, surely they didn't just go, oh, I'm goody, goody, yeah. Yes, my baby, oh, let me tell you. Anyway, okay, let's Bible bounce again. Luke 2 now, back to 2. Bible bounce to 2. We didn't read this one a while ago. So you're going to get a new one here. While you're turning, I'm going to take a sip of my snowman straw. Quite tasty through that straw. Okay, this is Luke 2, beginning with verse 8 and 14, this through 14. This is the shepherds. Okay, we're going to get their side of the story. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. I'm telling you something big here. Y'all are still hearing the Christmas story, some of you. I can tell. That's why I'm having to do this here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior, a Savior. Not just the King, not just King of the Jews, but a Savior, which is Christ, which is the Messiah. God, you don't know what that means to a Jew. It's the Messiah. That, and they're telling him that. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And ever since that day, there have been goodwills all over. God started that. All right, here we go. Shining down from above, heavenly creatures are singing of his greatness. Aren't they? And heaven is torn open. And all of a sudden you're hearing tones and melodies and harmonies that no human ear has ever heard before. And it's all praising him. Glory to God in the highest. You get it? This is just incredible. And this is, you know, it's like, this is the time.
That's right. Amen.
This is the time.
Yes, yes.
We could actually be at the time.
Amen.
And they're believing it. It's about him.
Yes.
Maybe for the first time. So they sing of the one. They sing of the one for whom the everything, all ages have waited. All ages have been waiting for this moment and this time. It's Emmanuel, God with us. It's Emmanuel they're talking about now. God with us. It's incredible. And so, and in all of that, you notice in the story here, in all of that, just awesome splendor has gone before him, before he even is seen or known. Right? Awesome splendor before he's even known or met. And God has released something from heaven to begin to declare this thing. And so I wrote down, here's what they say then. When they talk one to another and they prepare to go see him. We beheld a radiant glory. We beheld a radiant glory. We have come to see him. We have come, but we've come to see him. We have come, but we've come to see him. Is it important for me to stress that? We have come, but we've come to see him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So finally, because all of this has been going on and we really hadn't seen him, you know. We've heard from angels, and we've heard from foreigners, and we've seen glory from heaven and all this kind of stuff. And then in Luke chapter 2, we're just going to read verse 15 and 16. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Wonderful wording, huh? Let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing. I like, you know, you say, you shouldn't call the Son of God a thing. They don't know what they're going to see. We have too much preconceptions. And see this thing which is come to pass, not going to come to pass, which is come to pass, which God hath made known unto us, to know that. He's made known the awareness that it's there. It's already come to pass. Now we're going to come to see what has come to pass. Right? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. All right. So all of this glory, angels coming to Zechariah, angels coming to Joseph, angels coming to Mary, angels showing up to shepherds, a star way, way off over there, and it, somehow there are people that catch sight of it and come to a knowledge that this light is not the light of the world. This light is only a light that will lead me to the light that is Him, not just the light about Him. Because that light declares He exists, but it doesn't reveal Him. It only leads you to Him. And so finally, this is it. We're going to see Him. We're going to know this one that angels and all of this has happened, and all this glory. We've seen the glory that's gone before, and they come in and they look, and there's a little baby. A little baby. A little weak, vulnerable. Maybe he's crying. You know, maybe he's crying. Maybe he's hungry. Maybe he actually got hungry. And he's crying when they walk in. You got to remember everything they heard and said about this one. You know, he's laying there, and maybe he pooped his diaper. Brother Randy, it's blasphemy. Ask Mary. Because he didn't change his own diapers. All right. So, you know, they're going, this is it? You know, this is, you know, he's in a food trough for animals. And, you know, the shepherds come in and they go, I'm just making this up, they come in and they go, I smell frankincense and myrrh and animal poop. Maybe a little baby poop. Let me see. They're not seeing what they heard they were going to see. Do you understand what I'm getting at? They're not seeing at all what they had pictured they were going to see. They had preconceived ideas based on great words and great prophecies and great realities from God, but we don't see as God sees. We don't understand as God understands, right? So here he is. This is him, you know. In verse 16 again, let's see if I got it here. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph as well as the babe there. They found Mary and Joseph. They found a young couple that were of no great importance at all. They found the kind of people that there would be no room for them at the inn. Did you hear what I said? They found the kind of people that there would be no room for them. Yeah, I'm sorry, no, we got no room for you. They didn't find some wonderful couple that you said, I just love this couple, you know. There was nothing, you know, special about them in that sense. There is... this thing that I think that Mary saw. That's why she was there at the cross. That's why she was there in the upper room when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. Check it out. That's why she'd come to hear her son speak. Because she caught hold of something from the very beginning. Because when they came, they looked and they see, if this is God, he's a humble God. You know, when they look at that baby, they look at the weakness of it and they look at the vulnerability of it. If this is God, he's a humble God. He is nothing like the Greek gods. So this is what Mary said. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." He didn't regard how famous she was or how good she was. What made her noticeable to the Father? Her low estate. "For he hath regarded my low estate." We're all trying to get higher. We're all trying to get better. We're trying to look better. We're trying to be something better. And he looks at her and he goes, this is the kind of stuff I use right here. This is what I like. There's more. "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done great things to me." What? What great things? What great things? Put Jesus in her, in an earthen vessel, in a weak, vulnerable vessel. And holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud. He's taken care of the strong and the proud. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. She has figured this thing out, and she hadn't even had him yet. She knows she's nothing. Excuse me for the Catholics who think that she's everything. But she knows more than we do about her. That she's nothing. She's of low estate. She's intentionally that, and that's why God chose her. She wasn't special. She's not a star, bright star. But she would be the vessel of Christ. Will you? You say, "No, I'm too messed up." What do you mean you're too? You're perfect. You're perfect. You're just what he's looking for. "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things." The hungry. You know, back then those people understood hungry. We say when we feel just a little, "Oh, I'm a little bit peckish." We go, "I'm starving to death." We say that. "I'm starving to death." No, you got too much meat on your bones. You're not starving to death, okay? You're American. North or South, you know, whatever, of America. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. All right, so listen to this. In story form, leading up to them seeing Jesus, incredible words were spoken. Leading up, but before they see Jesus, leading up, they've heard incredible words. They've heard heavenly messengers. They've heard from prophets. You can hear from the Bible. Incredible. The grandness of him has been described. But that's not seeing him yet. But when they got to real life, they look and they see normal conditions. They see weakness and vulnerability and even needy, God being needy. Jesus put in a situation where he's needy. Jesus was totally dependent upon human help for him to even come forth all the way. Why would God put himself in that situation? Because, like Mary noticed, I think he's a humble God. I think he is. I think he's nothing like what we think he is. I think we hear all this greatness and we want to be great. And then he shows us this and we go, this ain't, what? This can't be Jesus. This can't be that's the Messiah? The one who just pooped? That's the Messiah? That's the Son of God? All right. So when Jesus is a child and he's starting to grow up, I wrote down, as he grew, here was the Messiah. You see this kid going along in Nazareth. Here's the Messiah. Here was God with us right here, this kid walking by. Here's God with us. See him going there? I mean, if you look at him, you go, that's God with us? That's the Messiah right there. You know? But nobody saw that. Nobody saw that. Was he that? Yes. Why didn't they see it? He was too normal. He was too much like us in the natural, in how we see things. We're disappointed. We wanted to see something much better than that. He was raised in Nazareth, not in Jerusalem. He grew up in a normal house. He had a working father who had a normal trade. Nothing was unusual. No one saw the Son of God where the Son of God really was. Surely God was with us and we knew it not. And so, let me see if I can close out now before we get too close. I want to read, I want to title this little section right here, Foolishness. Foolishness! This humble God thing is foolishness unless God opens your eyes and your heart to see God as he is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. 1 Corinthians 1, 19. All right, so this is the word of God speaking. This is Paul speaking. 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 19. For it is written, this is God saying this. See, this is already written. He's just quoting somebody who already wrote it, who already heard it. Paul didn't even hear this. He's quoting somebody who already wrote it, who already heard it. God said this, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy the rank sinner. Anybody catch that? The only one we think he's out to destroy is the rank sinner. However, those are the people that followed him when he walked the earth. You know? I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of those who put much effort into having good understanding. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And we're not talking about the wisdom of worldly people. We're talking about the way that we think. That we're too high and mighty. We're too strong. We're shooting for something that is not going to get us what we want. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by wisdom is not going to know God. Don't seek wisdom, seek God. Anybody see the difference? Don't seek wisdom, seek God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, something supernatural, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews want something powerful, supernaturally powerful, and the Greeks want some philosophy that is so deep that only certain people can attain to it. You have to be in the Illuminati to get there. You know, the special knowing ones. But we preach Christ crucified. We preach, listen to it, we preach Messiah crucified. That was earth-shaking to the Jews. When you say that to them, we preach Messiah, all right, Messiah crucified. And they're going, you're insane. You're insane. We preach Messiah crucified. Under the Jews, a stumbling block, for sure. And under the Greeks, just flat out foolishness. You're stupid, what you preach, what you say. And excuse me, I have to mark out that word stupid. Levi and Zeke, I didn't say stupid. I take it all back. She plays, she listens to my teachings. And then the boys go, Papa said stupid, and we're not supposed to say stupid. I take it back. We don't say stupid. I just said it 5 times. That was stupid. Like the guy said, only fools are sure. And he goes, are you sure? And he said, sure, I'm sure. All right, we're getting close to the end here. Don't get me off, people. All right, so, but we preach Christ, Messiah crucified, and it's a stumbling block for the Jews, and it's foolishness to the Greeks, but unto them who are called, remember the calling? Anybody remember the true calling here? Both Jews and Greeks, Christ or Messiah crucified, because remember, we preach Messiah crucified, the power of God and the wisdom of God, the crucified version of Messiah. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. What do you mean the foolishness? The cross. That's what he's talking about specifically. Well, God wouldn't work that way. God would split the sky and kill all of his enemies and raise all of us up and take us to heaven and bless us and everything's going to be wonderful the rest of the time. He wouldn't send his son down here and let a bunch of people beat him up and then kill him. His own son, he'd protect him. What kind of father is he? As we rage on against the cross as the answer, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man and the weakness of God is stronger than man, this cross. So can you see him right after? Man, we're getting close, aren't we?
4 minutes.
4 minutes. Right after the crucifixion, they're going around. We found the Messiah. And they, what do? They quote great words about the Messiah, don't they? They get in the scriptures and they quote great words about the Messiah. And then they say, well, what did he do? He walked the earth and he healed and he blessed and he did all this. What did he do? This is what he did. And so then they say, well, here's what I wrote. But when they want to see him, they take him to Calvary. It would be, what if Calvary was right there and they never took Jesus down and he's still there? Oh, come on. You know, they're telling about him doing miracles, walking on water and all this stuff. And he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. And you need to, well, I want to see him. Okay. Come here. That's him. That's our answer right there. And they'll go, that's foolishness. God did that. Man didn't do that. They didn't kill Jesus. They didn't murder Jesus. He laid down his life. Amen. And if that cross was still here with a bleeding Christ, that's what we take him to, isn't it? We don't take him to the Jesus who walked on water. We say, well, you have to go to the cross. We talk to him about forgiveness. You go to the cross. You talk about the cross when you really want to meet him, don't you? And then finally, Paul said this, for I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, for I was with you in weakness. That's 1 Corinthians 2 and half of 3. For I'm determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Well, let's see. I don't know if I can do this left-handed. Oh, I think I can. Amen. Let's shut down the lights and pass out the candles. Do we have candles? Don't shut it down too much. Until we get some candles in here. What? Yeah. Okay, we're gonna set the offering plate up here where my straw is. And at the end, if you brought an offering, just put it in the plate. So, Kelly or somebody got an offering basket we can just set up here. Can you pass it to somebody?
Switch underneath his amp.
Thank you, ma'am. Underneath my amp? Did he get him? Okay. All right. Well, according to my watch, it's almost on us. But according to my spirit, I feel like we're right where we need to be. Amen. We always put this light up here representing Jesus. And as we go into the new year, we want to go in there carrying His light. His light, not our own. And we want our candle to be lit with His light. And so that's why we do this every year, and it means something to us, and it's not a ritual to us. It is a commitment that we make every year. And our hearts long after the Lord. And we're with a group of people that want the Lord in this same way. So I'm going to just ask you, as you feel moved to come up here, to just come on up. Right now, and just go ahead and start taking from him. You just take yours and let each individual person take from here, from Jesus, okay? Father, bless as we come. Bless our understanding of this. May we walk the rest of this year, the coming year, in the light of the reality of your Son being our light and our all as we carry him forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. On in, people. We can get several people here. If you start pushing somebody out, you don't know the spirit of what we're trying to do here. And I might have to do it to get mine lit. See, the Lord doesn't want me. The Lord says, you don't qualify. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you put your light inside of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I think we can get a couple of people up there at a time. Unless we're going to burn the place down. We don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's your home, right? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for being our life and our light. Thank you for being in us the light of the world.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank you that it's not us at all. We're just holders, bearers of the light, but you're that light. You're everything to us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. If we had all of the lights off in here in every quarter and every way, which is almost impossible to do, it would be basically complete darkness in here. If we all blew out our candles at that moment, we'd see the difference that light makes. It makes a huge difference. Ever so small, and yet it makes such a big difference. That's what Jesus makes to us. That's what Jesus makes to us. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us the Son.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. May we bear him in weakness, that you might be the strength of our life, Jesus. We ask in your name. Amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Let's bring in Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, that the symbol's over with. Do it. Do it in reality. And Deb got me some New Year's glasses, so I'm going to wear them for you. Oh, it didn't work, Deb. Let's turn the light on up there. I meant up there. Oh, it's not.
Could we leave them on?
I don't know.